This is about how loud I'll talk, I reckon.
Yeah, cool. Oh, look, you're on the debrief with Dave O'Neill. I'm sitting in the car with the comedy legend, Tommy Little, ladies and gentlemen.
Ruff, ruff.
Just done a gig at the Grandview Hotel.
And I'm a bit bitter.
Why are you bitter?
Because you told me, do the podcast and I'll give you a lift home.
Yeah.
And we've been sitting in your car.
Yeah.
I thought, great, this will save me money on Uber. We've been sitting in your car for 20 minutes outside the pub trying to fucking clip a microphone on. And you're driving now with the headphones in.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
And I'm holding a lapel mic.
I could do without the mics.
No. I'm happy. Don't spend more time changing it now.
No, exactly. I know. It's a pain in the ass.
So do we debrief about the gig? Is that what happens?
Yeah, that's why the podcast is called The Debrief.
I should have read that.
No, but that's okay. But your flatmate's been on it, Luke.
Yeah. Well, can I give you driving instructions as well?
Yeah, I think I know where to go.
Right up the tyres and hang a U-bolt and drop me exactly where you dropped Luke.
Yeah. And that's not far from here, that's the thing.
No. Which is also why I agreed to it.
Yeah, good on you. Appreciate it, because you're busy. I know you're busy.
No, but this is fun. Even when you said, can you do a podcast after the gig? One of my friends was at the gig and I thought, I want to have a beer with him.
With Tom, another Tom.
Yeah. He's actually a creative superstar. Anyway.
Is he?
Yeah. Worked for many years at the project, and
that guy!
Mate, he's an absolute gun.
Yeah. They've come to that gig before.
Yeah.
Years ago.
Yeah.
But
I got to say, he produced the Comedy Festival Gala this year.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Wow.
And you dismissed him and didn't even say hello.
No. No, I said hello.
No.
Oh man, I should have sucked up more. I know his girlfriend. I've met his girlfriend before.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, she's very nice. Yeah, right.
Yeah, so is this
Because, you know, no showbiz people come to the Grandview. Zero.
But you would have left tonight and said no showbiz people come to the Grandview. But he was there.
Except we did meet a large gentleman on the way out who knew you.
We can't talk about that. In case we've got it wrong. I need to pretend I know that man.
But
No.
I'm not going to say his name. But he claimed to be.
Don't say the person. The other.
No, he claimed to be Charlie's. Not Charlie, but.
Yeah, let's say Charlie.
Richo's manager, but yes. we couldn't work out who Richo was.
Yeah, and then gave me a real intimate detail of goes, I was with you and your dad last time that we met, and I remember the time he's talking about. I don't remember meeting him.
He was a big bloke. You'd think you'd remember that bloke.
Well, and then he got into what can only be described as a definite drug dealer car. I'm very scared to mention his name.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
Because that was a drug dealer car, and then his mate went to the other side of the road and got in another drug dealer car.
And they're hanging around a pub like that. Interesting.
Mate, that's my crowd.
Yeah, that's your crowd. Do you reckon he was at the show, though? Do you reckon he was just in the TAB?
My arrogant answer or my actual answer?
Yeah, your actual answer.
No, you had no chance.
Yeah, because he was actually carrying...
Didn't even mention it.
He was like, you were just there having a drink with your mates.
Yeah. He just had two suitcases for no reason.
Yeah, he was carrying stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, the things you see.
Hey, so can we talk about the funniest moment that I missed tonight?
Yeah, go on.
Because I think it's great. Both you and... Dez. So you obviously host the gig and Dez. Did the same bit of crowd work, but I think it's a really good bit of crowd work.
Yeah.
Where you spoke to two separate people who both said they worked
from
home.
Lenny and Mick.
Yep.
They didn't know each other.
Yes.
They both said they worked from home.
And you said, well, I guess you must know each other.
Yeah, and then I said, you should hang out.
Yeah, which is funny. Yeah. Great. And then Dez, who didn't hear you do it,
exactly.
Got up in the middle bracket, said, you work from home, you work from home. Well, you two must know each other.
He said the same two things. He said, you should... Do you know each other? No, you should hang out.
Yeah,
and everyone's laughing.
Mike, that's funny.
You should have got up and did the
same. Well, I told you I would.
Yeah.
And then I got up there and I didn't. It felt too contrived.
But you did a lot of your crowd work's very good, and they love you.
Well, that's
the people
nice.
Love you.
I mean,
you're not scared of talking to the people, are you?
Of crowd stuff.
Yeah,
it's my favourite.
Yeah,
you know, I also think, and this has been to my detriment as well, but I also think, you know, the moment when things either go great and that's exciting, or it goes bad, and everybody, I love falling, feeling like you're trying to grab a branch on the way
really?
Down.
You like that?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's living, I reckon. It feels really live and fun.
Yeah, I don't. I don't like that feeling, but it's certainly happened to me a lot. Where you've gone, you know, I'm not pregnant, or, you know, that kind of...
But isn't that... So, because...
But people always remember that.
Well, yeah, exactly. And stand-ups... Like, I love stand-up. But I also love the idea of being funny in situations
in the
when your back's up against a wall. And so you have to be funny. And... I'm sure you're exactly the same. I find funny things funny. I also find things that are really shit funny. So for me, either way that it goes, is going to be funny. Because either it's going to be funny, which is funny, or it's going to be fucking awful.
Yeah, awful.
Which is also very funny.
That's very true, actually. That's very true.
And that's what makes the gig exciting, right? Because otherwise it's another gig.
There's some comics that don't do crowd work at all.
Yeah.
And I'm like... I mean, you know what? It's very handy for certain types of gigs, I reckon, like corporate gigs or footy clubs where everyone knows everyone. I reckon that's good for that.
Well,
I just like it because it just breaks up your act a bit.
But my thing is also do what you want to do. So I would never say... So if someone doesn't do crowd work, I'll never go, well, that means they're less... And if someone does all crowd work, I'll never say... But I just think, well, occasionally I like doing crowd work.
Yeah.
Because I like those situations and I like being fun.
You're probably like me. You're sort of interested in people too.
Yes, absolutely.
Whereas some comics, I remember Tom Gleason said to me, "Why do you talk to the crowd?" And I said, "Oh, I'm just interested." He goes, "Oh, I couldn't give a fuck."
Yeah, but he does a more terrifying thing, which I love as well, where he said to me when he got up and was prepping for a comedy festival show, where he said he just had an idea, but he didn't have... essentially like jokes, like he writes it on stage and he goes, "Jesus. what am I going to be not funny for 10 minutes and I was like, that's the equivalent of exactly what we were talking about before. Like that's crowd work without the crowd work. Do you know what I mean? That's just being up there and going, we've got to make it work.
Writing on stage, do you write on stage or
because I can't sit... I can think of nothing less funny and detrimental for me than sitting
there
and staring
in front
of a computer.
Also,
I think the funny thing about sometimes... So McGregor, obviously, is one of my best mates. And
you live with him?
Yeah, and we tour together. And we would
you tour together?
Yeah, and we would do stuff on stage together where he would... In his act, he wouldn't really do crowd work, right? But when we're on stage together, we'll do get up at the start together... And then one of us do a set and the other one will do a set. But that start is usually just riffing.
Yeah.
And he's amazing at that.
Oh, he's funny. He's funny on Hughie's show, as you are too. Hughie, you have a problem. He's very funny on that show.
Man, he's got the funniest bones ever. So he, in any situation, he's funny. But I reckon he'd tell you, or in his act, would not lean towards that.
No.
But when you put him in it, he's so funny.
You're right. He's got funny bones. He's one of those guys.
Yeah.
And looks funny.
Well, that's rough. But yeah. I was so I did a behind the scenes for the Masked Singer, the Channel 10 show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hughie's one of the judges.
Yeah. So I chatted with Hughie, like a sit down interview with Hughie,
Oh, you're just here. This is one of the quickest debriefs.
No, it's great. Yeah, and so the first question I said to Hughie, I said, "Do people know it's you, or do they think someone has just rocked up in a ridiculous mask?" And he just goes straight away. He goes, "I knew you'd ask that." He goes, "No one's done it yet. I knew you'd ask that." And it made me feel so cheap and horrible.
Yeah, but no one's done it yet.
Yeah.
What, right. Well, he said that... Well, he wouldn't tell me because he knows I'm a gossip. I said, "Well, tell me some of the singers." He goes, "I can't tell you." He goes, "But I know..." He goes, "I actually knew all of them." Which, and Hughie's not into music.
So no, but he is into arrogance.
Oh, yeah, okay. So he's saying that... Yeah, right.
You know what I find hurtful about you being into gossip?
What's that?
I've never got a call.
Oh, really?
I've heard of the Dave O'Neill calls to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah, Thorno. You were speaking
to
Chandler.
No, right. I've never gone.
Well, he's a big gossip.
Yeah, so. I'm up for gossip.
But so Hughie actually starts every conversation with me with, "What's the gossip?"
Yeah. I'll talk shit with the best of them.
I love it. But,
when I mean talk shit, I mean...
Yes.
You know,
We talk about gigs and what's happened and...
No, you don't.
Yeah, we do. What's going on? What's happening? What's happening? No, did you hear about this one? You know, like, interesting stuff.
And
stuff
then I love
makes the world go round.
I love the 10-second conversations where you go, do you want to hear who did really well at a gig?
No. Nah.
Oh, no. Nah.
Nah.
Who did fucking shit?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, it's a classic. It's like an old joke. That's true, though. Now, I'm trying to work out, on this podcast, I always try to work out where I first met you. And I'm getting that. I remember I met you with Cody, I reckon.
So I think I know.
Well, hang on. I remember talking to you at a gig in Newport at the, what's that hotel? The Exchange Hotel or something. And you did a routine about, I reckon I met you before this though, but I remember watching you and you did a routine about a sat-nav thing that talked to you. Is that right?
It sounds hacky enough that it would have been in my first routines, but I don't actually remember that. But I reckon I paid for our first introduction.
What was that?
I paid to do a comedy course thing.
Oh, where, at Melbourne Uni?
No, in St Kilda for, I've forgotten the woman's name, but she ran, Mel, maybe? And she ran
I remember that.
And it was an all-day thing.
And Troy Kinney was there.
Basically, me and John O'KT were the only people that...
And Troy Kinney.
Bev Killick spoke. You spoke. And I still remember... And I think this is good advice. I still remember to this day what you said.
What did
and,
I say?
I think you'd know.
Yeah, it was in a theatre, wasn't it? It was in like the National.
Yeah, but there was like...
There were three people
was,
there.
And none of us. And she said, if you pay to do the course, you'll get a gig at the Elf and Wheelbarrow. And so I was like, great, this is an investment. And I never got the gig. I went to that fucking Elf and Wheelbarrow gig like 10 weeks in a row.
Yeah, I remember that gig.
Man, never.
In
anyway.
St Kilda.
Never got a gig there. But you said it was about car. You said have a license. It's great.
Oh yeah, so you have can, a license. Yeah,
you
right.
can
yeah,
drive
okay.
convenience.
Yeah, because I'm always amazed how many comics don't have a license.
Yeah, and for so long that was how I got. It was like, hey man, you can have this gig down in wherever, an hour away. By the way, you have to drive everyone. For the thing. I was like, that's great. But you also were like, I've been making a living from comedy for a long time, and you said about this about yourself, but you said I'm not the best, but
I'm not the worst.
Yeah, I'm not the worst. And also you were like, I'm a nice guy, like
yeah,
you don't pick the best comic, you pick who I want to do the 3-hour car drive with.
That's so true. That's how TV shows put together,
man. I remember that still rockets around my head.
Yeah, as you know now, because you're heavily into TV.
Because I'm not the best and not the worst, but a nice guy. We'll do the 3-hour
car drive. You know that on TV shows and radio shows, they'll bring up people's name and they just need someone to go,
man,
he's a fuckhead.
Just not an asshole.
Yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah, and it's the same theory.
It should be easy, but that's surprisingly difficult.
Yeah, and some people can't help themselves.
Yeah.
Because of their whatever, they've had trauma or they're just...
Oh, well, that's a weird place to take that, but yeah.
But, you know, that's not...
No, that's I mean, you know. I just meant a personality trait.
Yeah, a personality trait.
Don't be a dick.
Yeah.
I didn't mean...
Or the alcoholics, or, you know...
Well, I mean, still...
There's a lot of that going around.
There is a lot. It's because we work at night and often we only get paid in free beer.
It's true. You can always get a free drink.
You know, the first gig I got paid for, I was with Celia Pequot and Fox Kahn.
I've heard of him too, Fox Klein.
And so we drove, so I obviously live in Melbourne, and we drove to Wagga Wagga. So
four hours.
And so I offered to drive, and thankfully they were together at the time, and they said they'll drive.
Oh, okay.
And on the way down there, I was like, how good is this? Getting paid for a gig.
The Wagga
and,
Wagga.
And they go, how much are you getting paid? And I was a bit embarrassed because I didn't want to brag about how much I was getting paid. And I said, $50.
Oh, fuck.
And they started laughing. And I said, how much, what, do you, what, why are you guys, like, what are you guys getting paid? And Fox was getting 500 and Sirius was getting 400.
And you're getting,
$50.
Fuck, it won't even cover the petrol to Wagga Wagga.
No.
What was the gig like, anyway?
Yeah, it was good. I mean, it was in, like, a classroom, you know.
But how long did you would have started, let me think, 12 years ago?
Yeah, about that.
With Cody, Nick Cody, was it
really
then?
Yeah, yep. So Cody and I reckon did our first festival shows in a place called the Q Club, which doesn't exist now, which actually is not far from here, on Brunswick Street, and it was a pool parlour.
Oh, yeah.
Which had a band room off to the side.
Oh, God. Yeah, right.
And, it was... And the guy that ran that was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And before every show, we'd do Jager bombs. And I, on, and I, well, I honestly thought at the time, I was like, this is the, like,
yeah, this is
man, I had so much fun.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Absolutely loved it. We'd get there early before our shows and we'd play Buck Hunter nonstop, drink. And, you know, my sister was doing tech and my best friend was doing door.
Mate, it's, you're living the dream.
Yeah.
We used to have my home number as the booking number. And the guy would go, is that you?
Yeah.
Is you like Dave? I'm like, yeah, it's me. This was before mobile phones, I reckon. It was so long ago.
I had the same thing with flyers because I didn't realise that doing a comedy festival show outside of Melbourne CBD was insane. And so I would flyer up and down Brunswick Street for hours. And it would be long enough that the people I'd flyered would have been drinking. And then they'd get to the show and they're like, hang on.
Oh, you're the guy.
Yeah.
You fly.
What do you mean? You're the flying guy is doing the comedy.
Jesus. What year was that? You reckon? Was that 90 or 2000?
No, 2000.
Yeah, you were 90. Nice.
6 or 7, maybe.
Yeah, wow.
Maybe, no, later. Maybe, I don't know. But
something, yeah. Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing you guys around, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. But as you know, there's quite a big attrition rate. You're still here and you're done very well.
But again, this comes back to your words of advice.
Yeah.
All those years ago, which I paid $50 to attend the daytime workshop of, which was, I stuck around. Essentially, it was your advice.
I also said, don't give up.
Yes, you said.
I would have said, don't give up.
You said, I'm not the best, I'm not the worst. I'm not an asshole, and I'm
still
around.
Going. Oh, yep. Man, everyone.
And here we are.
Here we are. I'm doing a podcast in my car on a Wednesday night. Yeah, but that's true. You've got to keep going.
Yes.
You got to keep going. And that's something that you and Cody and people that have done.
That's insulting.
Just keep going. Well, look, you've all both had success, though.
Yeah, no.
Because not everyone has success. Yeah. That's the thing. But you've
maybe they haven't kept going long enough.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. Yes. As we know, some of the funniest guys drop out. So the funniest guys and girls, they drop out.
The whole secret to this whole industry is
keep
that...
going.
And also, the funniest people don't attempt it.
Yeah, well,
if everybody
true.
Attempted it, we'd all be fucked.
I know. You meet guys in shops or factories or whatever, and they're fucking hilarious.
So funny. Yeah. Mate, I got out with my friends, and like...
Yeah, they're funnier than...
Absolutely.
Yeah, my brother's...
close to the funniest guy in the room.
My mum always says, your brother's funnier than you, Mark. And I go, yeah, he is, but, you know, he's working in a school.
Yeah.
So, you know, he should do comedy.
Yeah. And thanks, Mum.
Yeah, thanks, Mum. He's the real funny one.
Yeah
thanks,
yeah,
Mum.
Yeah, good, Mum. That's what I need.
And so now you do every Sunday on the project?
I do every Sunday, yes.
Yeah, that's a great gig.
Yeah.
Because you've built up a... Like, as we saw tonight, the pub was packed. And you've built up a big following. From that, you reckon? Or from the radio? Combination?
I don't know, because I don't have anything to bear with.
Yeah.
I also think... We should have asked. I also think doing festival...
Year after year...
And making sure that you do a good show year after year. I've noticed...
So you do a whole new hour every year.
Yeah.
That's how many years in a row have you done it, Erigan?
10, maybe.
Wow, that's impressive.
I did my first one too early, though.
Yeah, everyone does that.
Yeah. But then just kept. And I did go in with that kind of business mentality of, if all the people that came the year before come back, and then there's some more, we can't, just by maths, this can't fail.
Was there a year when you really broke, like you reckon, when you really just went, it just tipped over?
Must have been this year?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe? I don't know.
I know Brad Oakes, regular correspondent on this podcast, said that it was several years ago that it just sort of tipped over, he thought. I don't know, it would have been 2 or 3 years ago. But that's often to do with media exposure. Like you do a good go. Oh, you know what it was?
Think...
You know what? I'm nailing my brain. When you did your netball set on the
gala. Oh, sorry. So first gala.
Yeah.
So I went from doing my first gala. Yes, absolutely. My first gala overnight, I sold out the rest of my run and
from that spot
and put on all these extra shows.
And that's where you did the netball routine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great routine. Because that similar thing happened to Husey. He did,
right.
And they must have put your spot on early in the broadcast.
Man, I honestly don't know. But I do know that I worked like that spot because I was just doing stand up at the time and not
doing radio or anything on TV. Yeah,
I did like I was at Adelaide Fringe for the whole month, and every night before my show, I would get up and do a 5 minute spot, and I'd do my
the netball routine
working, and they didn't really edit it. Like I kept it under 4 minutes, and they didn't change anything.
Right.
And so just
smashed
I was lucky
it.
To.
Yeah, yeah. So you'd practiced it basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because I remember Jenna McLeod, I think, who did the information booth, said people came up saying, I want to see the guy who does the netball jokes from the gala. Yeah, she told me that. I remember that.
Yeah.
So that would have been about, what, how many years ago was that? 7 years ago, you reckon?
Yeah. Six, yeah.
This is a very deep analysis of your career, actually.
I'm just wondering how many, like, how many people are still listening. I'm more interested in the penguin on your dashboard.
Yeah, I got a penguin on the dashboard.
Why is it there?
I like penguins. My favourite animal. For my kids buy me penguins occasionally.
The pandas might.
Oh, you like pandas?
Yeah, I love them.
You've been to China to see them?
No, I haven't.
I've seen penguins in Phillip Island.
Do you know, I mean, that's Phillip Island. That's less of a journey than...
Yeah, I know, China.
Do you know China owns all the pandas in the world?
I didn't know that. They own every panda in the world.
Yeah, so everyone else is... All the pandas are leased out from China.
Bullshit.
True story.
That's an actual fact.
Look it up.
Man, that is a great fact. Do you ever go to that pub there?
I used to punt a lot and I've stopped now.
Good. Yeah, punting's no good, I don't think.
It's the worst. It's the easiest one for your whole life, bang, to go. Like, at least with drugs or something, you have a whole experience and stuff. Addicted. You can have one night of punting and you can lose everything. Well, anyway, I used to go there when I punted a lot.
Yeah, it's a classic. They've been there for years, that pub.
Yeah. The Park Spew.
The Park Spew, mate.
We shouldn't give away where we are.
Your location. I mean, oh my god.
It could be anything.
Anything could happen. There's a few of those sort of hotels around there with that name, don't worry. Anyway, you're listening to Debrief. I'm with Tommy Little. I'll just have a break and we'll be back, Tommy. And then, we're winding up soon, don't worry.
I want to get out of the car.
Yeah, we're looking sus. Hey, this is Dave O'Neill.
And Glenn Robbins.
And we do a podcast called Somehow Related.
And we talk about two random topics that you wouldn't think were related, but in actual fact, they are.
Yes, it's a great podcast. We love it. We listen to it ourselves.
Come along, join in. Don't bet, don't gamble, but
don't
learn
Google
something. And if you go to a dinner party, you've got a perfect way to start a conversation.
So many facts to bore people with on this podcast. Tune in, Somehow Related. We're back on the Debrief with Tommy Little. He's looking at his phone.
Have well, you can any... you spin around and put me out the side of my
actual
house?
I will actually turn around, but I'll ask you this question.
Is it quick fire? I'll make it quick fire.
I don't want to get out of here. Fair, I understand. Yeah. It's Wednesday night. Yeah. Man, you might have some sort of booty call on your phone or...
Yeah, I don't, but let's pretend I do.
Okay, all right, fair enough. Are you on those apps?
Hang on,
I know Hughes is obsessed by you.
And... Oh, no, it's McGregor.
Because I've actually done... Does he want you to bring home milk or...?
No, his phone's just wondering where I am. It's late.
Oh, well, that's nice. Yeah. We have a catch-up. We have a Milo and catch-up.
We have a whiskey.
I have a whiskey. Because I know I've done... I actually have done Hughes'
show. We actually have a Milo. I was just pretending. Yeah. I didn't think you'd give me much street cred if I said it.
Nothing with Milo, mate. Nothing with Milo.
Yeah, that's true.
I've done Hughes' show with you, and he's obsessed by your... Because, of course, he's married. So all married men are obsessed by men who are out there on the dating scene. And he's obsessed about you and apps.
Yeah, he is.
And dating apps. And,
yeah, he asked with a frenzied look in his eyes that is disturbing. Well, he doesn't go, hey, mate, how are the apps? He goes,
damn, mate.
And well, it's like, whoa.
We didn't have them. They weren't around.
So nothing's different. No one understands this, but nothing has changed.
So, yeah, you still get rejected.
Yeah, but, and also, I mean, I'm sure there are people that do it better than I do it or different than I do it, but I've never... just met up with someone and rooted. Like, that's never happened.
Yeah, see, that's what we all think these apps are,
yes,
but they're
not. It's just people in relationships romanticize about
it.
Yeah, right. Even before the apps, they go, you know what I'd be doing? I'd be out tonight rooting everyone. It's like, you never were before. What the fuck's changed now? You're 5 years older. You're fucking bitter. What?
Yeah, you're
now
bald,
you're a root machine, you reckon, do you, mate?
That is so true. That's fucking funny. You should do that in stand-up. I'll send you a recording.
Delete it off this.
Yeah, if you're not doing it, I'll be doing it. Fuck, O'Neill's doing it. Oh, that sounds familiar, that bit. Look, I'll be on the gala next year. It'll set me up for life. Anyway, I ask everyone these questions.
Yes.
Right? So what?
How many?
There's only four.
Okay.
What went well tonight and why?
What went well tonight? For me, the crowd? Me?
Whatever.
I did a brand new thing about being overseas.
Was that new, that Italian thing?
I haven't done it, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, the annoying thing is I used a hacky bail thing of I was speaking an Italian accent.
Yeah, that was funny though.
Yeah, but the I didn't have an end because.
Yeah, and you said, "Why are you speaking like this?"
Yes,
yeah, that's funny though.
Yeah, but that's not a real end to a pit. So
that's real enough for me.
Yeah, sure. But so that was.
You didn't listen to my talk.
That was good. That was good.
No, that was funny because that is your observation. I don't know, ruin your bit, but your observation about.
Us having too many rules, essentially.
Yeah, yeah, and you go to Italy, and it's like, oh man, yeah. Italy's great. Where did you go to Italy?
3 weeks ago.
Oh really? Where'd you go in Italy?
Bologna to visit Katie Lambrook because we did Hughie and Kate and Carrie and Tommy.
How's she going?
Yeah, like crazy. Someone that's living in Italy. Awesome.
Yeah, it's, I mean.
Okay. Hang on. That's question one. Yep.
You're right. I gotta go too.
Yeah.
And so, what didn't go well?
What didn't go well? I mean, it was fine.
All your stuff was good.
No, but it was fine. So I didn't really put. That was the only thing I kind of put out. It was like new, because I'm still doing my old touring my old show. So I didn't.
Yeah.
It was fine. There was nothing that was a real clang out. You know what didn't go well, and it's actually the worst it's ever gone. Was I asked the crowd if anyone's had a dry spell, and no one spoke up, and one chick put her friend in it.
That's right.
And that didn't go well.
Yeah, right.
Because
then
I was like, well, you're an asshole putting your friend in it.
Yeah, that was funny, though.
And then I kind of asked her when to go, and everyone's like, why are you asking? So that didn't go well, yeah.
And were there any organisational hazards that got in the way?
Of the show?
Yeah.
Yeah, you couldn't shake a hand. You introduced me, and I put my hand out to shake your hand, and then you gave me like a finger, like an adult does to a baby. Yeah. And I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do with this finger? And then you gave me your other hand. So now I've got a finger and a hand to deal with.
Yeah, that's, I don't know what was going on there. I have no idea what was happening. And how can we do better next time?
Well, don't finger me when I'm trying to get on stage.
Tommy Little, ladies and gentlemen. There he goes. And catch him all around Australia. And he's on the project. And
good radio.
Radio. Every day. Monday, Friday. We carry. That's right. On the Today Network. Thanks, Tom.
The Hit Network. Thanks, Dave.
They've changed, have they?
Well, that's the Sydney.
Oh, that's... Yeah, you're right. Yeah.